Welcome back to Random Chatter. It's episode number 161. We're recording this on Sunday, January 7th. It's our first episode of 2018. Happy New Year, everybody. So I'm here with my two regular hosts. We have Lizzie and we have Tim. How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing great. Happy 2018.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, doing well. Happy for a new year. Didn't start off too great for myself or for Lou. Started off awesome for Liz.
Yes.
Liz, you were in Gay Perry.
I was. Yeah. It was magical. And I partly did never want to come back, but then I was like, Tim will be too happy about that. So I decided not to satisfy his dream of me leaving the country. Plus, darn. I leave for 1 week and these two get sick. Clearly, I can't leave the country anymore. I can't, nothing.
Yeah.
Everything goes to hell when I leave.
True. It was a rough start to 2018, I must say. I mean, Tim and I both had separate illnesses and put us out of commission for at least 2-3 days apiece, I guess, right?
So, oh, yeah.
Goodness.
Today was only my second day of work for 2018, so I accomplished only working 2 days in the first week. But
well, that's okay. It means that it's going to go up from here.
I know, that's what I was thinking. I got the sickness out of the way. Everything is good now. I'm ready to just dive into 2018 and do all kinds of cool, fun stuff.
You guys have to pick your words for the year. Did you pick your word for 2018 yet?
My word for 2018?
Yeah, instead of making resolutions, what I do is I pick a word that I will, like, aspire to have, like, think of this year, and that my word is bright.
Like the movie?
Oh, like the Netflix show.
No, not like the Netflix show.
No?
Oh. Like my hair color.
Okay. Oh, bright. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's a good
thing to aspire
to. It's
a fun thing for you to figure out what your word will be. That's your challenge.
I'll have to think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will too.
My word last year was believe, and the one before was free, and the one before was bold. So I don't know. Each year is like, puts a different flavor on it. And rather than doing like resolutions that you forget in February, it's something that's just on your mind for the
whole
year.
Oh, I don't forget them. I just never accomplish them. So,
well, exactly. That's the point.
So I was thinking, Powerball, but somebody won that. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
It was someone down Liz's way, too, wasn't it?
I thought it was somebody in New England.
But it wasn't me.
I thought it was a Florida.
I don't know.
But I don't know them. So,
Florida,
so
man.
I will have to think of a word for 2018. That'll be good. By next week, I'll have one. Tim, can you have one by next week, too? Okay.
Yeah. I should be able to figure that out.
I don't know. It's been a fun way to, like, really examine the year and not have, like, these sort of resolutions that are, or like, unattainable goals that end up being, like, just you feel guilty about or anything. It's just whatever you're doing, that's, like, in the back of your mind to try to keep your year in line with that, with whatever word you pick. So I don't know. Yeah. It's changed the way that I look at a new year, which I really liked. So a little something for you all. If you pick a word, like, tweet me. I want to hear what it is.
Yeah.
Look, instead of having this, stressful to-do list, it's a perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool. I like that.
So there you go. You're welcome.
Okay. So now, speaking of bright things we can talk about, Lizzie. the fall movie draft results are in.
Oh my gosh!
And I'm surprised. I'm shocked. Tim is now covering his camera. He doesn't even want to look at us anymore. So we all thought the movie draft was going to be between Tim and Eric, and we were worried about if I don't think we were worried if it was going to hit 400 million, but what else Eric was going to have to kind of bring to the table to get him up over Tim's score.
Nothing.
So last year I did hit 400 million, and that topped off Eric at 400. And I looked at the results tonight that Eric had been compiling for us, and I'm like, okay, so yeah, Tim was at 576 and Eric was at 672. I'm like, wow, okay, he beat him by quite. Like, wait, Lizzie beat them both? So Lizzie came in at 750 million. I mean, by far the winner. I mean, that's just amazing. I mean,
cheater.
Not a cheater. Strategizer.
We even took a movie away from Lizzie because when we were doing the results, she had overspent and we didn't realize it and she didn't realize it. And we took a movie away and gave that back to Eric, and he still didn't have enough to beat her. So
no,
I was like, I'm amazed.
Not a cheater, a winner. You spelled it wrong, Tim. It's okay. You've never experienced life from this side, so I understand it's really difficult. Like, I'm just going to tell you, I'm not a braggy person, but because Tim made such a big deal about it, we're not going to be letting this go for
No. We certainly can't. We certainly can't.
We're going to talk about this for a while.
Yeah. And, you know, not only did she win the total dollars, she won the per credit dollars, too.
How about this? In the spirit of award season, because right now, as we're recording this, the Golden Globes are actually on. Liz, we will allow you your acceptance speech for this award.
I didn't write it yet.
Oh, well, I guess you don't get one. Okay. No,
I'll get to do it next week because we're going to talk about this for a long, long time, Mr. Braggy Pants. That's what's about to happen.
We'll put it over the top. I think it was Jumanji. I mean, that she had that towards the end, 244. That brought quite a bit of dollars in for her.
Yeah,
but you know,
yeah, Jumanji definitely.
You know, Tim, you remarked this one too. I don't know how you guys let this happen. She got a movie for two credits that made $124 million.
Yeah, which is absolutely insane. That was
Wonder.
Wonder. Yeah, Wonder, which did way better than thought that it would have.
Per credit, she made $62 million per credit on that one movie alone.
Yeah, that's insane. Oh. No, seriously, Liz, well played on this draft. It wasn't even a thought. I mean, all the discussion was, is it going to be me or is it going to be Eric? Is Star Wars going to be enough to edge out me having both Thor and Justice League? And all of a sudden, just Liz just like comes in and just kicks both of us right in the nuts and just keeps on carrying on.
Well, I mean,
and there it is.
If Justice League hadn't done, it didn't do as great as everyone thought it was going to do. So I think.
Yeah, I mean, Justice League only making 226, that hurt.
And that, I think, really hurt you because you had a great pick. I mean, you had a great shot at it and a great and great movies to go for.
And, you know, so, Tim, you were surprised Thor didn't do better. I mean, it made 311. I didn't think Thor was going to do 400. I didn't think it was going to top out. But I
thought it was going to come a little closer to topping.
I mean, that's pretty close.
Even if it did, that wouldn't have.
I mean, Justice League
was
really
still 100 million below.
Yeah, I mean, Justice League would really hurt you, though. If that had done three, you'd been closer in the running. But Lizzie, congratulations.
Liz, congratulations to you. You kicked ass on this. And hopefully you're going to epically fail in the winter movie draft.
Nope, won't. Will not be failing.
No, I don't know about that. I think you will, Lizzie. I mean.
Nope.
But you do, Liz, you do need to brush up on your auctioneering skills because you will be hosting the spring 2018 movie.
Yay, I'm a great hostess. I'm the hostess with the mostest. I'm going to be so good at this game.
Well, but Liz, you know, you've seen how hard it is to herd these cats. So I don't know. It's a tough chore.
Oh, I'm up to the challenge, man. I am up to it.
Awesome. Yeah. So, I mean, with Black Panther, 89 credits. For you this past draft, I don't think you're gonna. Yeah. Anyway,
let's you just wait. Move, what move else along. Is? What else of consequence is even coming out in the spring? Nothing huge.
But that's not gonna do.
I'm just saying. Look at the slate. It's not a really great slate.
No, it's not. I mean, winter's always looked upon as being a pretty poor,
right?
Movie.
And it's not my fault. Anyone who's mad at me about it is Andrea's, just to clarify.
Well, there's nothing to be mad about. I mean, the audience draft, if they, you know, look at these things and say, well, I wanted to get the movie, but I can't afford it. Well, you know, that's part of the deal. I mean, sometimes movies go for a lot more than they should have. Nut job. And you don't want to get those movies. I mean, Black Panther went for way more than it should have. We goaded Lizzie into getting that, but
I told you I wanted it and I didn't care. And Andrea is the one to blame. I blame you, Andrea. I love you, but I blame you.
For the fall movie draft, it looks like the winner from the audience participation is going to be Erasure.
Right.
What do they get to have?
With a close follow by Mike E. I'm not sure if we're calling this one yet because of some numbers still coming in.
Yeah, we'll let that one go a little more just to make sure everybody gets their time in. Usually by the end of January, we'll know on that one.
Yeah, but definitely it will get announced here or on one of Eric's mm-hmm. shows. So
yeah, but on the host side of things, yeah, no one's gonna be able to touch Lizzie. So
yeah, it's Eric and I tossed it around on Slack yesterday and decided to call it. I gave a grand concession speech.
Did you?
Which involved the word cheater.
Uh-huh, yeah. Again, he just doesn't know how to spell winner. It's fine. He's not been one yet.
So it's with a W, not a C-H, Tim.
It's hard to spell. I know. Spelling's so difficult, you know.
It is.
Oh, boy.
I'll be evil laughing for a while. That's a lot of fun, though.
I'm glad, Lizzie, you took this one, and now you can have that trophy. And I want to see some selfies with the trophy, of course. Put them on Instagram. Or put them on the website.
Oh, definitely. I feel like I need to bring it. Like I need to take it on a little road trip. Have a little vacation with it.
I think you should wear like a gown. You know, like you're accepting the Academy Award and have the trophy there. That'd be good.
I'm going to find a red carpet somewhere.
That'd be fun. It's going to get crazy.
It's going to get nuts is what's going to happen. I think I need to borrow something from Harry Winston to wear and really like do it up.
There you go.
Get a security guard.
Yeah. Yep.
Awesome. Then I will make my concession speech. I mean, not my concession speech, my victory speech.
Oh, she's conceding.
That's Tim. I got confused. I spelled it wrong.
You spelled it wrong. Oh boy.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Before we do move on anymore, I just kind of want to throw something in, and it's a little bit of sad news. Zach, who is one of a member of our Slack group, just found out this morning from him that his dad died.
Oh man.
And yeah, that's just a really sad and unfortunate thing. You know, I lost my dad a number of years ago. And really, Zach, our deepest condolences are with you. You know, you have the entire Random Chatter community with you, you know, just for support. And certainly here if you want to talk to anyone. And we know it's a rough time for you and your family. And we're really sorry to hear the news.
Yeah.
So
our thoughts and prayers. Definitely. And
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, the Slack community, like that's a great place for us to be able to support anybody who's going through anything. This is that's something that, I've really like when I was in Paris by myself, I really felt like I was still with people, and that's through something terrible or something great. This is an extra just added level of way that we can all be there for each other that we didn't have access to in the past. So what a gift that we can be able to give that and be here for you, Zach, if you need anything. So,
yeah, absolutely. So we have, it's been, I think Lou and I took a look at it. Was December 17th was the last time that we recorded. That was our last show.
Seems like forever.
Really?
It does. It really does.
It's like a million years ago.
I know.
Yeah. I mean, I've been clamoring to like record something, but then I've been, you know, hacking up a lung and a half. And
yeah. Between being sick and before that, stuff, the holidays so. And you know, everything was coming, you know, a lot of things went on. Obviously, of course, holiday season is always busy, but yeah, it just feels like it's been forever since we've recorded.
Tim and I still haven't even done movie Rampage for Star Wars, have we?
We haven't. Oh my we tried gosh. To get that in, and it just the holidays, and then your trip, and then me getting sick, and all it just all that came up just like way too fast.
Goodness.
So we didn't get a chance to do that. So hopefully soon, folks, if you've been waiting for it, you haven't missed it. We just simply haven't gotten to it with everything else that's been going on. So
there was
hopefully pretty soon
there was a Star Wars movie.
Yeah, a little what? Star Wars movie. Huh? Is that like an indie film? You know, something real small?
That one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I must have missed that. I'm not sure.
No, I actually saw it for a second time in IMAX recently. I convinced my wife to go see it, and, you know, she's seen them all mm-hmm. now, so I drag her each time one comes out. She really enjoyed it. She actually, well, don't take this the wrong way. She stayed awake, but she was actively engaged in the movie. She said she enjoyed it, so awesome, so.
How was the IMAX experience of it?
The IMAX was good. The screen is, well, you know, big screen, obviously, but because it's a movie format. It's wide, and they, you know, you don't get the whole screen that IMAX would show on normally. And the screen is an older screen, so there was a couple artifacts in the screen that kind of distracted me here and there a little bit. So it wasn't a pristine showing of it, but yeah, it was definitely nice to see it in a big theater like that. And 2D, which is nicer because I seen it in 3D when it was up, you know, opening night. But yeah, no, it was great. I enjoyed it more the second time, I think. You know, it just, the movie resonates with me better and better every time I see it, and it just grows on me, and I am more happy now than I was at the first time. So
I think I'm going to see it again now that I'm back. I'd like to see it again with some perspective, a little space between it. I'd want to finish Phasma and then the book and then go see it, although obviously why, but I want to.
Phasma's a great book.
Yeah, I mean, I really like it so far. I'd like to finish it and then go, because that's the book that we were reading for December for my Star Wars book club on Goodreads, and I just haven't had a chance to finish it yet. So I'd like to finish that, go see it again, get some perspective, and yeah, I'm excited to see it again because it's been a while.
I mean, I thought a lot of things in the movie made more sense after seeing it the second time too. You know, you had some, like you said, some perspective, some space since you saw it the first time.
I felt that way about my second time. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, since you knew it was coming, it was, you know, things made more sense. You're like, oh, okay, that didn't seem as disjointed as it did the first time I saw it.
Well, so, and somebody pointed out a really good point to me of like the thing about Star Wars and how much we love it is partly the time that we've had with it, with the original trilogy and even with the prequels, is we've had a lot more time with all of them than we have these new movies. So I think like the movies themselves plus the time that we give them and the perspective will add to the love that we have for them, or the grace that we give them for the parts that we don't particularly like or agree with, like with the prequels, I think. Yeah. So I'm excited for that level of Star Wars. Like, I always love that, the time that we have with them and the more we get to know them and imprint them on our hearts and minds. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah. I was much happier with it the second time that I saw it, and I'm looking forward to the discussion that Liz and I will have on Movie Rampage with it, and the continued discussions that we're going to have on Echo Base about it to really pick it apart. So
yeah, like we said, I think we wanted to get a roundup the whole network to get together and talk about
The Last Jedi.
So I think at some point we need to do that. Now that we're all back from the holidays, and this is our first recording of the new year, and I know everybody else is coming back too. So it'd be fun to get a call with everybody on and really just kind of talk about the whole movie.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, I agree. About it. So I'm looking forward to that.
I think that'd be a lot of fun. So hopefully this month we'll be able to pull something together and do that. I think it'll be fun to get everyone together to talk about it.
Definitely.
What, Lou, what else have you been watching?
You know, it's funny. There's a lot of things that I really needed to catch up on, and I was hoping to start using that time I had down this week with being sick to watch it, but I felt so just that I didn't really want to watch them. I had to focus on. So I ended up just having reruns on in the background, stuff I know I've already seen before. But, you know, I have caught up on some stuff. I did get most of the way through Bright on Netflix. I really like that so far.
Is it a movie or a show?
It's a movie.
It's a movie.
I thought it was going to be a series at first when I first heard about it, but no, it's a movie.
Okay, I thought so. Just the way you said it, I was like, "Is it? What is it?" I got confused.
But I really like it. I mean, I think the premise is good. I think the world building is pretty good.
Yeah,
I haven't gotten the end yet, so I really can't comment on the whole thing yet. But no, I've really enjoyed it so far.
I think it's really unique. I was actually somehow did not know anything about it going into it. I hadn't heard about it. We hadn't talked about it on the show, at least not that I could remember.
Maybe no, I was not that we had.
A little more intoxicated one of those nights. I don't know.
Remember that night you were drunk?
And I remember the day it came out on Netflix, I saw it on the screen. I'm like, oh, hey, a movie? Netflix original with Will Smith? Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
And then I just kind of dismissed it. And then like later that day, I'm seeing a bunch of stuff on Twitter about it. I'm seeing a bunch of stuff in Slack about it. And people are really liking it. And then I'm hearing, oh, well, the critics really hated it. But the you know, regular people, the you and I's, have really loved it. So I'm like, hey, this is really good. So I think the next night, my wife and I sat down and watched it. And we both loved it.
Oh.
We both thought it was a lot of fun. I mean, it wasn't, you know, an A-plus movie. but it was really cool. And like Lou said, the world building in it is really unique. The premise of it is just so cool to take something, essentially the D&D type of world, or the Middle Earth world, and to make that a present day ish kind of thing.
Throw it into today's world and you're like, wow, okay.
Yeah.
So what if there really were orcs and elves and magic users walking around the streets of LA? It's like, okay.
There was an interesting commentary on race relations, because the race was no longer black, white, Asian, whatever. It was humans and orcs and elves and fairies, which got hit with fly swatters.
Spoiler alert.
That was awesome.
Yeah. And so that was an interesting twist on things. And it was done it was set in LA. So it was, you know, very gritty urban. And it's a buddy cop drama. In the end, I mean, that's ultimately the main gist of the genre. So,
right.
Liz, I haven't seen it,
but I've seen a lot of buzz about it and reactions and thoughts. And so
watch it.
Definitely will. I've been excited to. Yeah. I love Will Smith, and basically like that's enough for me to want to watch it. But your review is making me want to watch it more. And it is my word for this year. So I feel like it's like sort of meant to be. I have to watch it.
There you go. Yeah.
So I definitely will be watching it. Yes. I haven't yet, but I will be.
Awesome.
And it's gotten such great acclaim that within a week of its release, Netflix has said that it is going to do a sequel.
I just saw that on our notes.
With Will Smith. He's apparently already agreed to it. So I think that's really cool. I'm looking forward to it. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Cool.
That's definitely one of the things I watched.
Okay. Other than that, I mean, I caught up on, I'm almost done with Shooter season 2. USA show. You guys watch that? It's basically a TV version of the movie Shooter with Mark Wahlberg a few years ago.
Yep.
Okay. Season 2 goes in a whole different direction. I'm really liking it. Ryan Phillippe does a great job as the main character, and it's not really everybody mentioned his boyfriend here from the side of me.
I have a lot of boyfriends. I do.
She does. That's our
I
Lizzie.
I have a lot of boyfriends.
Except the guy in Paris. On New Year's Eve.
That guy,
that guy. That is not my boyfriend.
I'm surprised boyfriend wasn't a word for 2018, but
no. Anyway, it would be imaginary boyfriend, and that's two words.
Other than that, I said I just saw The Last Jedi in IMAX, and of course I'm watching football because it's playoff season.
Yep. Nice. Lizzie, how about you? What have you been watching?
Well, before I left for Paris, I saw The Greatest Showman, and I loved it. Oh my gosh.
You saw it twice.
I saw it twice. Saw it twice, and I'm going to go see it again, actually, because I listened to the soundtrack the whole time in Paris as I was walking around Paris, because it's such a great soundtrack for a new year. It's like the lyrics of like breaking out of the shadows of like, you know, because it's about the P.T. Barnum's freak show, his original circus, the freak show. Mm-hmm. And so the bearded lady and like all of these, you know, quote unquote freaks from back in that time period, and how he really put them in the spotlight. Now, a lot of the critics hated it. But partly my dad and I were talking about it. It's not a true story about his life. He was a terrible person. Like P.T. Barnum sucked.
Really?
He exploited all of the people in his circus. He basically left them when it served him to go on the opera tour with Jenny Lind and just really sold out everybody that he had employed. But he was a visionary.
Wow.
The way that Hugh Jackman's been describing him is this, he's a visionary, sort of like Steve Jobs or you know, any of the visionaries of our Tesla or anything like that,
sure.
Those kind of people, Elon Musk, you know. And so he was visionary. He just wasn't a great man. Mm. So to have Hugh Jackman, someone so wonderfully likable, and sort of skew the story to a magical fairy tale musical. So a lot of critics went in thinking this is about P.T. Barnum's life, which if you saw one commercial, you'd know it wasn't. So that's stupid. But
yeah.
Also, nobody wants a real gritty, searing version of P.T. Barnum's life. Like, that would not be a fun Christmas movie. So, I love musicals. The soundtrack is wonderful. It's like, there's nothing not to love. It's the circus. Like, Zendaya and Zac Efron do their own stunts. Mm-hmm. They did it without the safety nets. Wow. When they're actually filming it, when they talk about it, they treated it like a Broadway show. And so they booked it, like they did a whole, like, workshopped it before. There's going to be a book coming out so people can sing them for auditions and hopefully a Broadway show one day. So
that's cool.
I fell in love with it. And the music is just wonderful. And music is one of my main ways to connect to something. So it really spoke to me. So I recommend it so freaking highly. And
cool.
It was just wonderful.
That's good.
And I can't wait to see it again. So
I mean, it seems like everything I've seen about it, it's like Moulin Rouge for the circus.
It's so Moulin Rouge-ish. I was almost surprised that Baz Luhrmann didn't do it because it had some very like Moulin Rouge-ish like feeling to it.
Where it goes like just a touch over the top to make it that big musical event. And
Yeah, well, and it also reminded me of like musicals from the 40s and 50s. Like if you think about even like Sound of Music or any of those other films, they may have been based in a real, in a story of real life at some level, but they're also still fantastical fairy tales at the end of the day. And like, that's what you sort of want from a movie musical of that genre. You don't want like, I don't know. It's not Les Mis. Go see Les Mis if you want like sad sort of like heart-wrenching. This isn't that, although it did make me tear up, but just from the inspiring nature of it, I don't know. It was wonderful. So that, and then a show that both of you will want to watch so much.
Oh no, here it comes.
Boy. Was this on the Hallmark
yes,
channel?
Yes, it is. It is called The Wind Calls the Heart, and it has Lori Loughlin from Full House. Nope. And
oh, A Wind Calls the Heart?
No, When Calls the Heart.
When?
I binge watched all four seasons in like 2 weeks. And it's so cheesy.
There's four seasons
of this? There's four seasons, and season 5 starts on February 18th. Don't think that I am not counting down the days, because I am. And there was a Christmas special on Christmas Day. Obviously, I didn't watch that because I hadn't caught up yet, but now I'm caught up.
And Firefly got canceled after one season. Okay.
Anyways, you guys will love it. It's like a permanent Hallmark Christmas rom-com. There are lots of hugging. They say the word heart all the time. It's wonderful. The fans of the show are called Hardys.
No. No.
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
And I just made Twitter friends with a bunch of them, so I'm so excited to live tweet the show. I'm so pumped.
You're gonna live tweet the show?
Oh, my goodness. It's so on, you guys. I love it so much. It's just like the most, it's like Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman. That's what it reminds me of.
Oh, God. Wait,
Dr. Quinn is a treasure. Shut up.
Folks,
I've avoided Dr. Quinn. I've never seen it.
Don't unfollow or block at this point because that's kind of rude, but you can mute at Nerd in the City on Twitter.
Shut up.
That way you don't have to hear any of that.
You can just mute me on Sunday nights when the show airs. Like that's all the time you need to mute me.
Tim, I was gonna say maybe we should watch them so this just to see what she's talking about.
No, I can't. You won't want to.
I don't think I can.
No.
You cannot.
I couldn't.
There would have to be a lot of alcohol involved, and then I wouldn't remember. Oh, maybe I could do this. I could do this.
Okay. I could make a drinking game for you.
I was going to say, what's a drinking game? Every time they mention heart or something,
say it a lot.
Glug, 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 glug.
Like, what does your heart say? Like, that could be your, there you go. What is your heart telling you? I'm going to tell you, it's so cheesy and I know that, but it's just something like really just light and just like super cute, and like she's a teacher in the town and the kids, it's just adorable. So anyways, I don't know, that's what I was watching, and that's basically all I've and then I've been watching the Eiffel Tower sparkle, so what now?
And we cannot top that.
So
yeah,
we cannot
we can't top that one, but we can definitely top the heart thing. Tim, to save us, what have you been watching?
Well, finally had a chit, like with this like downtime with the holidays, had an opportunity to get caught up on some things. Finally watched The Defenders.
And
I liked it. It was good.
liked it.
It was good. It wasn't outstanding. It had good moments. It had some really slow moments. But overall, I thought it was very good. I liked it. Lou's cat is stalking us.
No, she's just
as I mentioned, I watched Bright. Something else, which for some reason hadn't seen before. My wife and I watched Fantastic Beasts.
You hadn't seen it before?
No, had not seen it before.
Really?
Okay. Enjoyed it. I thought it was a great movie, and I'm really looking forward to the sequel.
So good.
Yeah, I thought that was fantastic.
And just out of curiosity, why didn't you catch it in the theater?
Yeah.
I mean, what, was it something that you didn't want to see, or just you missed it?
To be honest, I don't know.
I'm not trying to put you on the spot.
I really don't know why I didn't go see it. But I will definitely be seeing the sequel in the theater.
It's one of those holiday movies. Sometimes those are easy to fall through the cracks because it was last, November, probably?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe, sometimes, I mean, obviously, big movies. It's a big movie, but sometimes they fall through the cracks, too. I don't know. And it's so good. I love that movie. I can't wait for the sequel, too. I'm glad you finally watched it.
Yeah. Oh, me too. Me too. It was
so
great.
So good.
It was definitely
Eddie Redmayne is... I love that.
It's running on HBO, so... We watched it twice.
I love Eddie Redmayne. I think he's just like precious, and he plays that character so well.
He does, like, because it's so just Newt this Scamander. Quirky kind of. Yeah, it's just right. he does it very well.
Someone who can imagine having like a gentle soul relationship with animals, like it's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's socially awkward. And then just before Christmas, went to see Darkest Hour. Darkest Hour was incredible. I think it is insanely underrated. I think for being a period piece and kind of a very, like, very narrow genre, I mean, the entire movie takes place over, I think, the course of like 4 days. To me, quite possibly the best movie of the year.
Wow.
I think it was that good. I did a review of it for Real Quick Reviews. So that did get posted. You can catch that on your random chatter feed. It was an incredible movie. It was really, really compelling, very, very riveting, very emotional. You lived that movie with Churchill, and you got to see the portrayal of Churchill from everything that I've read. And I really enjoy World War II European theater stuff. So read a lot of stuff on and about Churchill. The portrayal seemed to be pretty accurate. I mean, he was just kind of a miserable old man. And there were times when he was just the biggest dick in the world and no one liked him. And then there were moments of sheer brilliance that the man had that captivated the entire nation and motivated them toward this epic resilience when they were on the brink of absolute destruction from the Nazis. And it was incredible. My only complaint about the movie was that it needed to be another hour longer, because this essentially led up to it was a very interesting dovetail with Dunkirk.
Ooh.
Which came out earlier in the year. And so Dunkirk was not only mentioned in Darkest Hour, but it was one of those moments you got to see the other perspective of Dunkirk and the essentially the war room negotiation that took place between Churchill and his ministers on how to deal with the issue of, you know, 400,000 British soldiers being trapped in France and needing to be evacuated, and how they were going to make this happen. And so that was kind of one of the story threads in Darkest Hour. And essentially the movie ended at that evacuation. And I would have loved to have seen more time.
Well, that's where that famous speech came from, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, they kind of had to do that there. That's just kind of his shining, you know, moment, that speech that everybody remembers.
I would love to see another hour of the movie capturing Churchill during the war. Because this was just so early in the war, and Britain was definitely losing. You know, they did nothing but lose. that early in the war when they were trying to push the Nazis back and defend France and all that. I would have loved to see another hour of Churchill being active in the war. I think that would have been fascinating, but it was an incredible movie, incredible performance by everyone in it. And it was just great. So definitely go see it. It's not going to be in the theaters long, folks. It is underperformed really, really bad. So, you know, you might catch it. It probably shows, you know, once a day or something in your local theater.
Well, I think it was a tough release time for it to come out.
Yeah.
Look at what it's up against is the Christmas slate. You're going to want to go with family or, you know, have something uplifting. So this is a tough choice in a tough season. I wonder if they were doing it to get it in under the awards season radar or instead of saving it for the winter slate. I don't know.
Maybe. And I don't think it has any nominations for the Globes. Mm. It might for Academy Awards or something, but we'll have to take a look.
Yeah, I have wanted to see that one. I don't know if I'll make it to the theater, but I'll see it when it comes out probably.
Oh, absolutely do.
I want to see that.
Absolutely do. I will tell you, my wife and I cried through, we had tears through like half the movie. And I mean, because it's like that emotional. And like, I could hear people sitting around us like sniffling as, you know, as the movie is going on. So it was, really, really just compelling movie.
Well, such emotional subject matter too, you know.
Yeah. Right. And with a title like, you know, The Darkest Hour, I mean, you're not going in thinking it's going to be an uplifting movie. So
all smiles all the time.
Lou, what do we have for the box office?
Let's see. This weekend we had, now these are preliminary results for this weekend, right?
Yes. Tim,
that you put in here? Okay. So we had Jumanji at number one in his third week out. $36 million, this total of $244 million. That was giving Lizzie that edge up in winning the movie draft. Insidious: The Last Key at number two for $29 million in its first week. Star Wars: The Last Jedi still in the top five at $23 million for this week at week four, making it $572 million. The Greatest Showman, Lizzie's favorite movie here so far, $13.8 million for $75 million total. And Pitch Perfect 3 running out of the top five at $10 million for $86 million total. Not bad showing for, you know, the week after Christmas, which is not normally a good week at the movie theater.
Did anyone see Jumanji yet? I really want to see it. I just haven't. Obviously, I've been in Paris.
I haven't. I want to. I'm probably going to wait until it's on video now. Because I figure it's, you know, week three, it's probably, you know, hard to find in the theaters nowadays.
I haven't, and I'm hoping to catch it in the theater before it goes out.
All right, yeah. It looks funny. I mean, every trailer I see, every TV spot looks better and better. So I really want to see it.
It just looks like a light, fun, like action romp that's like lighthearted. Yeah. Like that's what I'm wanting in the new year. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do want to see Darkest Hour, but that's something I need to like devote some more good mascara to. You know what I mean? So
the waterproof stuff. Let's see. Next week we have The Commuter. That is the one with Liam Neeson,
yes,
right?
And yes. So everybody that I talked to was worried about me being taken in Paris, obviously, because that's what it's about, you know. So that's like their biggest fear. Don't get taken, whatever. It's the funny joke. And so I was on the train out to Versailles, and there was this huge poster of Liam Neeson for The Commuter. And I was like, look, Liam's here. I won't get taken. So Liam was with me in Paris.
That's funny.
So I feel weirdly connected to this movie because of that. I don't know.
Funny.
Awesome. So let's see. Paddington 2 is coming out. Proud Mary and The Post.
I'm excited about Proud Mary. I'm really sad it's not getting more press than it deserves because I feel like it's going to be amazing and like almost Atomic Blonde level, but with Taraji P. Henson. And I really want to see this movie and I want to see more about it. Like I want there to be really great press for it. And I'm sort of sad that there hasn't been.
It's starting to get
there
some.
Hasn't been at all.
A few pieces here
and there.
But
the fact
that
it's coming out next week though,
I know.
Yeah.
I haven't seen anything about it other than a trailer in the theater for, I think, Atomic Blonde.
And The Post is gonna kill it.
Yeah, there's been a lot of press for The Post.
Well, it got nominated, right, for the Globes tonight. So,
yep.
Yep. Even though it, we were talking about this before the show, even though it is fully a 2018 release, it right. came out to limited theaters this weekend, and this upcoming weekend it will have its full release. But they did get their reviewers out by the end of nomination season. So
yeah, that doesn't make a lot of sense, but yeah, is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, that's from a sense of wanting to get noms. That's what it makes sense for, I guess.
Oh,
but,
sure.
But release it in 2017 then, if you want to get,
yeah,
you know
well,
what I mean?
You know.
Anyway, before we move on to the rest of this, what are you guys looking forward to, speaking of our movie draft, in these next 3 months, you know, this kind of slow time of the year, what are you most looking forward to movie-wise?
Black Panther! There is no other movie that matters.
Oh, I beg to differ on that one. But
well, you'd be begging wrong, so don't do that.
Nice.
What are you looking forward to?
Well, let's see. Real quick here, I just pulled up the movie draft. Coming out in a couple weeks is going to be 12 Strong, war movie with Thor.
Hemsworth.
Yes. I'm very much looking forward to that. I think that's going to be a great movie.
Yeah, that does look good.
Yeah. I think Black Panther is going to be fantastic. Red Sparrow.
No.
And I'm not touting it just because it's one of my movies from the draft. But this is something, Red Sparrow, I think is another one of those, like it kind of has that feel of an Atomic Blonde type of movie. It's set present day. So I'm hoping that it not being a period piece is going to help support it. I really hope that's going to do well. And obviously Ready Player One.
Oh yes.
Which I'm just really hoping that does well. They've got to do it right.
It's a big question mark in my book too. I mean, I really want to see it. I'm definitely going to see it. I hope it's good. You know, it's one of the things where it could either be really, really good or it could just fall apart.
Yeah.
I do have to say that after seeing the first trailer, I was like, this movie's going to be amazing. It's going to be, but I saw the second trailer and I'm worried about it because I think that it's not going to be as mainstream as they're going to want for box office success. I think it's going to be a lot of fans of the book hoping that it's going to be what they dream it's going to be. And I don't know that it's going to capture that mainstream audience that they're hoping to capture by putting the DeLorean in there. Especially with the graphics that they use in the Oasis. I was like, this is going to lose half the people that were going to go see it because the DeLorean was in it.
Yeah, so I think it's going to lose. Worried. Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to lose some of the book fans because it doesn't look like it's staying really that close to what the story was, or at least they're taking some liberties with some of the visuals. And I think it's not going to be mainstream enough. Like you said, it's not going to appeal because they're not showing enough of the, I mean, I think one of the big draws of the book is all the references to 80s culture.
Well, yeah, the Batmobile, the X-Wing, the DeLorean, the fact that they have all the vehicles you could ever want to have the option to use. You
know, yeah, I mean, you know, the music, the movies, the references, and you don't get that sense from the trailer. So it's like they're not going to drag in the rest of the people that haven't read the book. So I don't know.
I mean, they're banking on it being a Spielberg, which is a good bet. But I just, after seeing the graphics, I was like, this is going to be some Valerian level not interest from the public. You know, like it's going to be one of those, like, we're going to go see it and we're going to probably like it on some level or be disappointed, whichever. But I just don't see mainstream audiences flocking to it after seeing that second trailer. I was like, oh. Yeah.
On the other hand, I
did not think that at all.
I thought it was a better trailer, but I don't think it's going to get any more fans coming to the movie. But
I didn't think that visually it was as... I thought that the showing the graphics from the Oasis immediately would lose people because it looked too video game-ish, which I know is the point. But in my head, reading the Oasis, it looks different. You know, it looks like whatever in my head. And so people who read the book are going to think that. People who don't, it's going to be Valerian to them and they're not going to go see it. That's just what my thought was. And I was like, oh.
What I'm going to say, though, for our listeners, if you have not yet read Ready Player One, please go out and
read
do so.
It.
Yeah. Read the book. Yep.
Yeah. Before whether you read it or you do it in the audiobook. The audiobook version is a lot of fun. It's narrated by Will Wheaton.
Boyfriend.
It is it is an outstanding book, especially if you like sci-fi. you like 80s culture. And even if you like, even if you like 80s culture, like as a cringeworthy thing, because that's just what the whole book is. And it's all the references to it. They will make you laugh. I mean, there were some in the book that I didn't even get. Like they would mention some obscure show or an obscure game or something like that. And I'm like, okay, whatever. But I really didn't lose any context because of that.
Yeah, I mean, there was enough mainstream stuff that you got that was awesome. Yeah. And the few things that were really, really obscure didn't take me out of it. But no. You're like, oh, okay, that's something I didn't get exposed to.
Yeah. We need to have Random Chatter Network Book Club, and that should be our first book.
Oh, that's not a bad idea, Liz.
Right? There we that go. Would be so fun.
Yeah, that's I think that'd be a lot of fun. It's just it's such a great book. I mean, you have until I personally think it's worth going out and reading the book before you see the movie. You have until the end of March, which is when the movie comes out. Mm-hmm. I will tell you, when I first read the book, I could not put it down. I went through the book in 4 days.
Yeah, I did a week probably. It's very fast.
Yeah, and I do the audiobook, and I do it. It's a yearly read for me. For some reason, I do it every year. Yeah. Usually in July this year, I'm going to move it up because I'm going to do it before the movie. I want to be fresh with that because I really want to see the differences in remember what they were, you know, comparatively really close. So I'm looking forward to reading that again.
Yeah.
Big fan. I think I'm going to give it another read. This is why we should have book club. Okay. We're going to do it. We're going to have book club.
Okay. Well, you heard it here first. We're doing book club.
I'm going to add a Slack network. We need one. This is happening.
For movies for me, I mean, yeah, Ready Player One's on my list. Pacific Rim, I want to see.
Yeah.
Annihilation's on my list too. I really want to see that one. And, I mean, of course, Black Panther, but, you know.
But nothing.
Okay, let's get into our, now that we're, you know, 47 minutes in, let's get into our discussion for the week. And we don't have a lot of things this week. This week we kind of did our review and catch up amongst ourselves here.
But, fire stuff.
Tim, you're going to be real happy with this. Michael Pena, Ant-Man 3, it's going to happen, Tim.
Well,
I mean, was there any thought that it wasn't?
This note I put in about 10 or 15 minutes ago, because Eric sent me the note on Slack, a link to a Screen Rant article about Michael Pena saying that Ant-Man 3 is probably happening. He's not sure if he's going to be in it. That's pretty much all that was mentioned. And as everyone knows, I think that Ant-Man is the greatest waste of Marvel resources ever.
Have we had Ant-Man 2?
It's not coming. Yet. Ant-Man and Wasp is coming out later.
Yeah, but that's not Ant-Man 2. Is that? I thought that was different. Is that?
That is the sequel to Ant-Man.
Okay, yeah. See, that's why I was confused. I don't know if we're getting an Ant-Man and Wasp movie and Ant-Man 2 and then Ant-Man 3.
Well, they've switched from doing that. Like, Captain America is in Captain America 2. It's Captain America Winter Soldier and Captain America Civil War. So they've switched from doing the numbers to doing the titles that are the sequel titles. I think only Iron Man has sequel number titles, whereas all the other ones, Thor the Darkest, Thor Ragnarok, then Captain America 1, and even Avengers switched to
That's why it's hard for my simple little mind to understand. I need numbers. I need, like, you know, the 1, 2, and 3. Yeah, there we go.
Yes. Okay, welcome to the 2018. That's not what we're doing. So.
Okay, fine.
So whatever they name it, it won't be Ant-Man 3. It'll be post-Ant-Man and the Wasp, and it'll be whatever Ant-Man and Michael Pena doing whatever Michael Pena does. So hopefully.
Tim, what if the next Ant-Man movie is really, really good? Will that put you back on track for...
Yeah, how do you like Evangeline Lilly as the Wasp is going to be awesome. Come on.
I will try not to go into the movie jaded. I will try my hardest not to. I will definitely go see it.
As we know, that worked for me in Justice League.
Simply because it is an MCU film. All in all, I don't like the character of Ant-Man. I don't think that the character advances anything for the MCU. And I think it's really just more a comedy grab than anything else. But we'll see what happens.
Okay.
We'll let you have that one. You're wrong, but it's fine.
See, I'm ambivalent to it. I mean, I like the Ant-Man movie. I don't have to, you know, say, oh, I need another Ant-Man movie. But, you know, it was good.
I mean, I love Paul Rudd. I've loved him since he was on, like, in Clueless. Back in the day, when he was on Friends. I love him. He's like Tom Hanks. Oh, yeah.
No, I...
Level
yeah, likeable. I like Paul Rudd. He's a fun guy.
Yeah.
Eh.
And I love
That's also part of my issue with Ant-Man. I'm not a Paul Rudd fan.
Well, I think if you don't like that, there's no redeeming that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So like,
if you don't like the actor, it's really, really, really hard to like the character.
Right. If like everyone, yeah. If you hated Robert Downey Jr., like you'd be screwed. Like you would not like the MCU very much. You know? True. So like, I get it when you don't like it. When you don't like that, it's me with Justice League and the DC. It's the Superman for me is the thing that I don't like. So going forward, mm-hmm. like, how do I like it? I get it.
Yeah.
I mean, again,
are you saying that Superman is your kryptonite? See what I did there?
So cheesy.
I see that.
That was so good. We could end the show now. That was awesome.
Yeah, mic drop. There you go. What's next on our bullet point rapid fire list here?
Bullet point rapid fire list. We're now up to the Winter Olympics starting on February 8th on NBC.
Boring.
I'm a big fan. Are you guys?
No.
I love the Winter Olympics.
No.
I love the Winter Olympics.
I like ice skating. That's it. I don't care about the Winter Olympics
more than the Summer Olympics.
I don't care about either of them, really.
Yeah, the Summer Olympics tend to bore me. Winter sports.
Skiing, bobsled, luge. Come on. Those are all awesome things.
Bobsled.
Yeah. I used to be a skier. I mean, I live just a couple hours away from Lake Placid. I love to visit up there, see the Olympic Park. I'm actually going to be up there later this month for my birthday. I love the Winter Olympics. So I'm so excited about it. On NBC, NBC Sports and the Olympic channel, they have been doing like all the pre-qualifying stuff for skating and bobsled and skiing and all that stuff.
Yeah, this past weekend was huge for that, right? You know, that's probably my one biggest beef with this kind of thing is you only get the Winter Olympic sports at the Winter Olympics in like the weekend or you know, the month or so beforehand. You never see any of this stuff any of the time of the year. I'm not just saying during the winter, but you know, off years for the Olympics, you never see bobsled competitions on TV. You never see, you know, you see skiing occasionally, but you know, you don't see the obscure stuff.
That would be a good use of the Olympic channel. They should use that for, because, you know, one would, I mean, I used to watch the Olympics. I mean, I do like the Olympics. I like what it stands for. I like the legacy of it. I just, mm-hmm. I don't like winter. So like, I don't want to watch a bunch of snow sports. Like skiing is my like nightmare. I never want to ski. If I never skied, I would be so happy with life. Like
nice. You know, Tim doesn't like Paul Rudd, so he doesn't like Ant-Man. You don't like winter. So the Winter Olympics are not your bag. There I get it.
I do love ice skating. I was a giant ice skating fan as a kid. And actually, I do like the Summer Olympics and the gymnastics and all of that. I went to Atlanta like the summer after the Olympics or the fall after the Summer Olympics were there in like 96, I think, or whenever. And I had like a jacket. I was like so jazzed about the Olympics. It's just I don't watch it regularly. I like opening ceremonies and stuff like that, but I just never really got into it. But winter is my nemesis, so I can't support it. Can't support my nemesis. I know you think Tim is my nemesis, but it's not. It's winter.
It's really winter. Really and winter. I like winter, therefore.
There you go.
Yes.
It works. Well,
you got to, now, Tim, did you get a good dose of winter this past week when we had the storm on the East Coast here? Are you guys, too far?
I mean, seriously, today, finally, this deep freeze broke. It was, and interestingly enough, today embodied both the coldest and the warmest of this deep freeze.
That's crazy.
I started off the day here. I think it was like 19 below.
Not first thing this morning.
And it actually got up to 27 degrees, which is the warmest it's been in like over a week.
Wow.
So the deep freeze has been broken. Temperatures here are actually going to get up into the 40s over the next few days. But it has been very, very cold.
Yeah, we had -4 here at my, or -5 here at my house this morning, and it's 20 right now, so it feels like it's like, you know, summertime out there, but
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're talking 40, 49 degrees by Saturday. So I'm thinking it's going to be like springtime. I threw my shorts on and
I mean,
you know, barbecuing.
Florida had a record of not going over 60 for 6 days.
Oh, my goodness.
That's actually, are you okay? That's actually very cold for Florida. And actually, it's colder here than it was in Paris. It didn't get below 40 in Paris, and it's been in the low 30s. Here, which is incredibly cold for Florida, and because we have a lot of water in the air, it's biting cold. So, I mean, I know it's Florida, and I know it's much higher temperature than what you guys are experiencing.
I can't take biting cold when it's 50 degrees.
No,
biting cold is when you walk out, and it's like the air shouldn't make my face hurt. It's too cold.
It's not 50 degrees. It's 30 degrees. That's 20 degrees colder.
19
below. No, I know. I'm not saying it's comparative at all. At all. Well, please don't get me wrong. I was very grateful for my temperatures when I was seeing all of everybody's posts.
With the wind chill a couple days ago, we were getting to like 30, 35 below.
Like, that's not a temperature. Like, what is that?
Well, you know, when it gets to negative 40, you don't have to ask if it's Fahrenheit or Celsius. So you're good to go there.
Yep.
That's
where the two scales converge. Well, you know, Lizzie, I'll agree with you because I when I lived in Florida, when it got to like 50 degrees, I was like, where's my jacket? I need to get my jacket on because it's getting cold out.
Again, not 50 degrees, 30 degrees, which is
I know 30 degrees
below freezing. So thank you very much. It's still cold. Anyways,
I enjoyed making fun of Liz while she was in Paris, telling her that it's colder in Florida and you're going to come home to it being colder.
I know.
In Florida than you were in Paris.
I did. I actually couldn't stay in my apartment the night I got back because my grandmother's house is almost 200 years old. And so it's not great for the central heating. You know, it actually doesn't have it. Mm-hmm. I have a small air conditioning unit that doubles as a heater when it feels like it. So I couldn't stay in my apartment because it wasn't working. So I had to spend the night at my parents' house. My aunt was like, so don't come back to your apartment because you will freeze to death in your apartment. And I was like, oh, great. Cool. Nice. Back to Paris.
Nice.
Okay. Well, back onto our quick bullet list here.
Well, so this next one here was actually an observation from my friend John. I did a quick little bit of searching just to see if there was any kind of article about this, but I didn't see anything in print. But John said what he's noticed over the last last week or so, is that Disney is consolidating a lot of its viewing into the Disney Now app. I guess they had a separate app for XD and maybe they had another app for some other stuff. And he's noticing that they're all pulling together into Disney Now, which seems to be, you know, in preparation for Disney's streaming service potentially and kind of just pulling everything together into kind of one hub. He said they've even changed up the interface. He said it looks and feels a little bit more like Netflix now. So it's kind of a little bit more user-friendly in that regard. And just because they're pulling in a little bit more into it. I don't view any Disney stuff through the apps. I don't know if you guys have any experience with it. But there was something, he actually texted it to me tonight. And I said, hey, real timely. I'm doing the show notes and I'll make sure I give it a mention out there.
Yeah, no, I don't have any experience doing the Disney app at all. So
again, I wonder how that's going to affect the fact that Disney owns Hulu now, right? Don't they? They own Hulu as part of the acquisition of 21st.
Yeah, they will once. Fox. Yeah, once the Fox purchase actually goes through, they will own Hulu too. So we have to see how that's going to shake out. I think it's pretty viable for them to keep Hulu separate from their Disney,
it's a different kind of thing.
It is. Yeah. And we discussed how different Hulu is from Netflix. Even those two streaming platforms are very different from each other because Hulu offers real time episodes of shows and Netflix does whole seasons later. But, so it does make sense that they would still create Disney Now as their own Netflix and still run Hulu. It's just, it's all in that same streaming family. So,
right. Absolutely.
I mean, it just means more money for Disney.
Pretty much.
Exactly.
Shocking.
They got to pay for that purchase. So, but I guess they, we can talk about this tomorrow on Echo Base in some more detail, but I guess Disney made their money back.
Well, are we surprised by that?
From the George Lucas.
Yes. Yeah. I saw that
purchase.
One.
They made their $4 billion back. So I don't know that included expenses of making the films. I think that's just from the gross sales, but
right. So. Well, that doesn't include everything else they've leveraged with that as well, too. I mean,
yeah,
you know, everything from action figures to merchandising to Disney Cruise to theme park stuff.
Went way over that with merchandising, and they're going to go way over that once Star Wars Land opens at Disney and they make $8 billion, trillion, zillion, billion dollars.
Yeah, I mean,
that's an accurate number, accurate accounting of what they will make. That's a prediction.
At some point, George is probably looking back at home going, I didn't ask enough.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Screen Rant reporting that we're going to be getting the first look at Venom this week.
Yes.
Very excited.
I'm so excited.
I'm excited about that. Yeah. Now, does this mean I read the article, but didn't really. Is it first look at the character or first look at a trailer?
It is so non-descriptive.
That's okay. It might be
maybe a teaser. They said definitely not a trailer because they are not far along enough in production to actually give a trailer.
Is November 18th the release date, though?
They better get pretty far along in production because
November 2018. So November of this year.
Right. November. Sorry. 18, not 18th. 18.
Right.
That's what I meant.
So they might be able to have a little bit of imagery to throw a teaser together, or it might just simply be a couple of, you know, handful of stills from the set. Don't know.
I feel like we need more than that real soon. We're going to get like a Han Solo teaser soon. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah. keep hoping.
I mean, hoping. Just the way the Disney is.
The Han Solo teaser is going to come out the day before the movie's released at this point.
I don't think so.
No, I'm really excited about this. I, you know, the only thing that I miss from the Garfield Spider-Man was that they did such a good job in setting things up for a Sinister Six movie and that kind of stuff. So this reboot, I'm glad still that there is a lot of momentum going in that direction. And the end of Homecoming definitely set up a sequel. Not only a sequel, but involving Vulture and potentially some other villains. And I think a standalone Venom movie is going to be awesome because I love Venom. I mean, Venom is kind of that ilk of like Boba Fett and that kind of stuff where they have some good motivations, but all in all, they're still really bad guys and you can really center a great story around them. So.
The question I have is, how is this fitting into the Homecoming, like Spider-Man, Tom Holland, Spider-Man verse? Because that's technically Marvel in the MCU. This is not MCU at all.
This is not MCU.
Separate. So how is Sony handling that? I mean, Marvel has nothing to do with this.
Well, it's funny because
Sony's still going in their own direction for their Spider-Man.
Right.
And Spider-Man is just going to have some ties over to the MCU. But
Homecoming is an MCU movie, though. And so is Spider-Man 2.
Right, but it's also a Spider-Man movie.
But that's real confusing.
Or their Spider-Man, yeah.
It is really confusing.
That's where you have some overlap, but largely Sony is still going in their own direction with their own Spider-Man.
I mean, I don't see them doing anything with Spider-Man outside of the MCU. What are they going to do?
I think they definitely will.
I mean, from
I think there's a lot of things that they can do with it.
Well, I know, but what's been said and what's out there with like Homecoming, you know, and he's going to be in Infinity War, and then Spider-Man 2 is MCU, is part of the MCU too. So like, I just don't see what their plans are. So it doesn't seem clear how they're going to tie it in with any future movies they do that are part of the Spider-Verse. But not part of the MCU.
Well, the difference. Yeah, but there's a difference between being part of the MCU and like being part of like an Avengers movie. I mean, all these movies that are part of the MCU have, an element of it ties into the MCU for everything overall, but they're still standalone movies.
Yeah.
And that's what Sony's doing with Spider-Man going forward.
No, I get that part. It just seems interesting with the crossover and the borrowing sort of the character and the deal that they've made. It's interesting to figure out what the partnership is and where it intersects, where it'll divide.
Right. I thought it was funny in this article from Screen Rant, in the very first paragraph, it talks about, after successfully rebooting the character as part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, I'm like, Sony didn't really do that.
Exactly.
It was a big boost to them. I mean, it wasn't like they rebooted it. It was helped out by the MCU.
Right. They basically made sure that Sony had very little to do with it.
Yeah.
Other than letting them have the character.
What I don't get is, how do you do a Venom movie without Spider-Man?
Exactly.
Well, and I was just going to say, I'm hoping that this movie has little to no Spider-Man in it.
Me too.
I think there's a lot of character, but how do you do that?
Well,
I mean, because, we always said a hero is only as good as their villain. Well, a villain's only as good as the hero, too. I mean, you can't, how do you have a villain without something to stop him?
Well, I mean, you have plenty of, superhero origin stories where the hero is much better than the villain, and the villain doesn't make or break the hero. It's just a part of his journey. Mm-hmm. So I think that this is a really interesting – this is what I wanted Suicide Squad to be. I would have loved to have, individual, standalone origin stories for the villains because they're just as compelling as heroes are. They're just bad, mm-hmm. So especially with Tom Hardy at the helm. Now, I know I say boyfriend a lot, but when I say boyfriend this time, I mean it in three syllables, boyfriend, hello.
Well, the nice thing about this, even when you talk about, Suicide Squad, we've all seen the origin stories for all the heroes. We've seen it a lot. We keep seeing these origin stories over and over again. We've gotten past that. But these villains, a lot of us don't know the backstory. I mean, they're not as mainstream as some of the heroes are. So it's like, we need to have more of them out there, and we need to have this origin story for Venom, which would be awesome.
Well, and I think with Venom, there's a lot of interesting stuff in it because you're developing two characters. You're developing Eddie Brock. Mm-hmm. Who is, if you're folks who aren't familiar with Venom, Eddie Brock is the human host of this alien symbiote, which we then come to know as Venom. And so I think you have an origin of Eddie Brock. You have an origin of the symbiote. And I think a lot of the central conflict potential in this film is the conflict between Eddie Brock and the symbiote.
Yeah.
Right.
Which they've definitely explored in the comics. Where, sometimes when Eddie gets really angsty over the world and over Spider-Man and all that kind of stuff, they intersect. But then there are other times when Eddie's like, wow, we really should not be killing dozens of people. And the symbiote's like, screw you, we're going to kill everybody here.
Mm-hmm.
There's also some potential, and I mention this because this is kind of really high on my hope list, is if they introduce the character of Carnage, because Carnage is so crazy evil, Carnage really turns Venom into an anti-hero. And so you just have so much potential there. And I think that can make a great movie. Now, are they going to do that? I don't know. But there's some good potential.
Love this idea of a standalone villain. Like, I would love that with the Joker, honestly. Like, I think a standalone Joker storyline would be amazing. There's so many villains that are think of how we all like Loki. Like, he's much to the villains that I think when paired with the heroes gets completely washed over because obviously we're there for the hero. So I love stripping away the hero element and giving sort of the levels that a villain has, because as we know with a lot of different villains, they're bad, but there's also that gray area where compassion and we see mm-hmm. how they got where they got or whatever, especially with the symbiote relationship with Eddie. Like you were saying, Tim. So I'm pumped about this movie, and I hope we get a teaser soon.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, like you mentioned with Loki, we've seen such good writing of villains lately that we are feeling sympathy for them. We get to see their motivations, and we get to see motivations that we don't necessarily disagree with, but it's how they are resolving their conflict is what we do disagree with.
Well, I mean, even look at like Thor Ragnarok with Hela and the like relationship mm-hmm. she had with Odin, and you sort of see the thread of how she got to where she is, and it maybe isn't all her fault. Yeah. Her reaction to that is her fault. Her reaction to that is her, the ownership you take when a good or bad thing happens. But the steps, you know, you take, you put yourself in that position, say, would I do anything different? Would that affect me that way too?
Sure.
So
it's motivations, perspectives, and choices. Yeah. And how they manipulate those things is what brings someone from a villain to an anti-hero to a hero. Yeah. And to see an opportunity for this to play out on a screen for someone other than a hero, I think has a lot of potential. I'm really, really excited about it.
Same.
Agreed. Speaking of villains, we have a new one. Well, yeah, true. A new Grinch coming out next year from Illumination. So it's an animated Grinch.
These are the same guys that have done. Cute.
he's baby Grinch. He's like a baby Grinch.
He's like little minion Grinch.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's kind of funny because the poster they show for him says he gets meaner.
He's so cute.
Which is awesome. Because the picture of him is this young little Grinch looks just like, he's kind of cute.
He's like a baby Groot Grinch. He's so cute.
Yeah.
Now, this news is a little old. This came out back in December, I think it was, right?
Tim sent me a screenshot.
So Grinch is for Christmas. They wanted to show this off before the holidays so people were in that, you know, holiday spirit for next season. And, you know, this looks like it could be really good with the animation stuff.
Yeah.
I was not a fan of the live action one. Did you guys see?
No.
Yeah. I was not either.
It didn't work for me. It wasn't the Grinch I liked, you know. I was like,
that was not our Grinch.
Hashtag not my Grinch.
Right. Exactly. So this one looks like it could be good. Benedict Cumberbatch is doing the voice, which mm-hmm. I think is going to be awesome.
Amazing.
I think
he's going to be
great with that.
I think he has the nice, deep, resonant voice for it. I think it's great.
Oh my gosh, I'm excited about this movie.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting my first trailer in this one because I hope it's as good as I think it's going to be.
He's mm-hmm. just so cute. I want to hug him. Okay, this next movie I am so jazzed about.
So am I.
Ocean's 8, guys. I actually, on the flight home from Paris, I watched Ocean's 11 again because I haven't watched it in a while, and it just got me so much more excited.
Yeah.
Oh.
This is one of those things where, okay, so when they did the all-female cast for Ghostbusters, and I really just wasn't a fan of the concept, didn't really like it because they weren't fully working within the Ghostbusters universe. This was like a different, like a really weird tangential path.
Right.
This is not they're not feminizing the concept of the movie. This is an Ocean's movie.
Yeah, it's Danny Ocean's sister.
This is absolutely 100%. Yeah, this is an Ocean's movie. So this is Danny Ocean's sister. Matt Damon is still going to be in it as Linus.
It's going to be which so is awesome. Good.
I think that's great. Yep.
So, I mean, you've got Kate Blanchett, Olivia Munn, Sandra Bullock, Dakota Fanning, Anne Hathaway, Helena Bonham Carter, for as weird and crazy as she is, Katie Holmes, Rihanna, Mindy Kaling. This has an awesome, awesome freaking cast.
It's going to be so good.
The trailer has me so excited. I cannot wait to see this movie.
The fact that they're robbing the Met Ball makes me so excited for like costumes and just like extra crazy visuals that are going to be like just so captivating and add to the sort of ocean. It puts it on par with the Vegas Bellagio, MGM Grand, like Terry Benedict sort of storyline from Ocean's 11. And even if you go back and watch the Frank Sinatra Ocean's 11, which is obviously where it came from. Classic. Mm-hmm. I love everything about this trailer and I love everything about the cast. It's exactly what we need in it, like a female driven version of a movie. Mm-hmm. And like you were saying, the Ghostbusters one went wrong in that it tried to be adjacent to the world. You got to be in the world. Mm-hmm. Well, I would have been on board with a full female Ghostbuster thing if you had been in the world and acknowledged that you're part of the same universe. Like, what's the point of not capitalizing on that universe building that
I mean,
we know is popular. Hello, watch a Marvel movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, if you do things the right way, I mean, there's ways to do that where you turn either turn a character female or the whole cast female. I mean, they did it with Starbuck and Battlestar Galactica. That worked perfectly well for me. You know, the Ghostbusters thing didn't work for me. It's just, and this is a totally different thing. It's not like they're taking characters that we know and saying, let's make them female. It's a whole new set of characters in the same world.
It's brilliant. Yeah.
It's gonna be fun, and it's a good cast.
With a very logical link.
Yeah.
It's not just sheer happenstance that they happen to exist.
Right.
This is Danny's sister. So it's like, hey, you know, larceny runs in the family. And they create this team, and there's other characters. But I also love that they're taking it out of Vegas.
Yes.
I think that's a good thing. If they kept it in Vegas, it'd be like, wow, they're just trying too much to be the other Ocean's movies.
It's a whole different thing.
This is now
a
different environment. And it's a different heist. I'm so excited for this. So excited.
And can we just talk about how 100% believable it is that George Clooney would be Sandra Bullock's brother? Like, I feel like that's 100% believable.
Oh, yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, that does work for me. Yep.
I don't know. I just, everything about it, I just am so excited.
Okay. And the last thing we have here on our list of news items is Punisher Season 2 is coming.
We don't know anything about it.
No.
they released a 5-second video that just simply said Punisher coming, you know, Punisher season two coming. I'm excited about it. I thought the first season was really great. I'm looking forward to the second one. We don't know when it's going to come out. Aside from what's her name? Why am I missing out of my head?
What are you asking?
Oh my gosh.
I don't know.
The other character.
Jessica Jones?
Jessica Jones. Yeah.
So aside from, we know we have a season two of Jessica Jones.
Daredevil season three.
Coming up. Daredevil season three. So Daredevil's already had a second
Luke
season.
Luke Cage two.
Luke Cage two is going to come up. Iron Fist. I don't know if they've announced a second season of Iron Fist yet.
Have they? And Defenders, we'll get a second season.
But, you know, it's something that we're looking forward to. I mean, Netflix has done a really good job of making sure that we're coming out, you know, not so often that it's like you can't keep up, although I haven't kept up with it. But, you know, it's not like they're coming out weekly. It's coming out in a good, timely fashion that we're getting enough time between these, let them sit, to enjoy them, and then move on to the next thing and then have them build up into something better down the road.
Yeah, I agree.
So let's see here. We do have What Were They Thinking this week. And Tim, you found this, and I think this is perfect. I don't let you take it, but I'll let you. I think this is just a perfect thing for the What Were They Thinking.
Well, and credit to Eric on this one, because this was actually on the list of things that he gave us. So the Alamo Drafthouse, which is pretty famous. A lot of our listeners have an Alamo Drafthouse in their area. I unfortunately do not.
Same here.
They're going to open a video rental store in one of their
video rental store. Okay.
Yeah. Remember, like Blockbuster. You know.
Yeah.
You can.
Back in the 90s, when. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So this is, I guess, it's going into one of their new locations, maybe in Raleigh. I think the article said. I'm trying to skim it here quick, but I'm not catching up. So it's going to be Blu-ray and DVD, as you would expect, probably 4K Blu-rays and stuff, which is cool. Not quite sure why we need that, because we have all sorts of subscription video rental purchasing.
I was thinking the same thing.
There. Lou, I think you should probably go in the attic, though, and you must have a VHS player you can dust off, though, right?
You know, I was thinking about that when I read the article. I don't think I do anymore. I think I finally got rid of my last one. I mean, and I am notorious for saving electronics. I've got my old Apple IIc upstairs in a box somewhere, too. But I don't think I do have a VHS player.
Lizzie, you have a VHS player?
Definitely no.
No.
Because I'm not 100 years old, so.
You know, and the interesting thing is, like, I remember, you know, maybe 10 years ago, you could go to Best Buy and pick up a VHS player for $15.
They even really sell ones. They don't sell new ones. So.
Yeah, I don't think they have them anymore. In fact, I'm pretty sure I remember reading an article not long ago that VHS players, like there was one last remaining company, maybe in like South Korea or something, that was making them, and they are no longer making them.
Right. Because
really?
So there are no more new VHS players going out on the market. Exactly. They're not necessary.
Let's see here. I'm looking on Amazon.
But Alamo
Sony
Draft House.
SLV D100. Yeah, they have one. $128. Come what? On. DVD wow. VCR combo. That can't be right.
Well, when you stop production, apparently prices go up. Supply and demand,
sounds
folks.
Like just some dumb hipster thing that somebody was like, let's do VHF rental. No.
Yeah, see, it really is. So, yeah, so this Alamo Drafthouse location is going to be, they're going to have a massive selection of rare VHS tapes, according to this article. And this article is from Engadget.
That really is a what were they thinking? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, but in case you don't have a VCR.
Which nobody does.
Which is all of us.
Yeah.
Alamo will rent you one. Which geez. Also does come with an RCA to HDMI adapter, because VCRs, of course, were way before HDMI True. Was even thought of.
True.
Yeah.
Wow. That's so, just, you know, I mean, I read the article, and of course they talk about how they bought up old video rental places and found, you know, have a good storage of now mm-hmm. hard to find movies that are never been converted to digital, which okay, fine. But you know what? Convert them to digital. Do yeah. something for me yeah. that way. I mean, make it a special subscription service where I can get access to these, you know, hard to find movies. But I mean, wow.
Yeah.
I just don't see this being a huge drive.
I get the nostalgia with vinyl, and I understand that being a thing that has kind of surged back up. But with VHS, I don't. I don't. We don't need to go back to the days of VHS. There's absolutely no reason for it.
Well, I mean, the thing about vinyl is, I mean, people will still say they like the sound of it. They like the, you know, the quality of the music coming out of it, which mm-hmm. okay, I mean, I'm not that person, but fine. But yeah, there's no reason to bring back VHS. There's no reason to want to watch a VHS tape.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the quality is, I mean, wait till people plug in this rented VHS player with the HDMI adapter into their 4K high def TV and go, oh god, mm-hmm. that looks horrible.
Yeah,
it's gonna look bad. I mean, you know, try watching, you know, old TV shows, you know, on your high def TV. That like we have a network called Cozy TV that plays like, you know, $6 Million Man and Columbo and all these other shows. And it's like, oh my god, the quality is bad on this. It's like, wow.
Oh yeah.
And they've done the best they could to clean that up, I'm sure. You know, it's yep. like, what's it gonna be when you grab this VHS tape that's been around the block about a billion times? Put in this DVD or this VHS player, and it's going to be scratchy and staticky and wow.
And they have to rewind it.
Yeah, you have to be kind, rewind.
Be like, kind, rewind. Yeah,
kids
there you go.
Don't know that saying. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean rewind? I just push play, right? Yeah. What are you talking about?
Where's the menu?
Where I want to skip and like no. This is a dumb idea.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I was on chapter four. Yeah.
Where's the menu for the bonus features? the interesting irony here is that probably about an hour before I saw this article, we had kind of de-Christmased the house today, and we were cleaning up a bunch of things. And for some reason, somewhere in a box, there were a handful of VHS tapes.
There you go.
And so my wife pulled them out of the box and kind of held them up in the air and said, is there any reason for us to keep these? And I said, no, throw them out. It was just miscellaneous crap. And so then an hour later, I see this article. I'm like, this is really stupid.
Wow.
But yeah, that's
kind of funny. Started your own video rental service.
Exactly.
There you go. Yeah. I'm not sure what's on those tapes though, Tim. Might want to watch this before you start running around. you know, it was kind of funny because I've never been to an Alamo Draft House. I want to go. I wish there was one closer to me. I think there's one down in New York City.
Yeah.
But I was looking on here, and there's a link on their page for franchises. Mm-hmm. I didn't know they were franchise, that they were just, you know, factory or, you know, corporate owned stores. But yeah, so the franchise requirements are a little steep. Going through here, it says, let's see, at the federal level, I'm not sure what the federal level means, but they want you to have you individually, it says you individually, and it says in parentheses, and not part of an investment group or with partners, have readily available cash in which you will invest through over $3 million, excluding land purchase, in a potential franchise. Like, wow.
Wow.
$3 million in assets I'm going to invest in this franchise. And it says the entity that we're going to be, you know, forming to do this has been in business for 5 years, and combined net worth of all the partners is at least $10 million, excluding personal residences and properties. So I was like, wow. Crazy. Yeah. Little steep, but hey, I've heard they do great things, and I'm looking forward to going to an Alamo Draft House at some point. So. Hey, it's got movies and beer, so I'm kind of there.
Also things you probably have at your home.
That is true.
Very true. Very true. Yeah.
That is true.
I got a TV. I got beer in the fr- You're onto something there, Lizzie. You're onto something. Okay. I think that brings us to an end of an episode here. The first episode of 2018. Yay.
Nice job, guys.
Let's see. If anybody has any feedback for us, we'd love to hear from you guys. Again, the best way to do that is to send us an email. randomchatter@randomchatter.com is the best way to get that email to us and find all of our thoughts on anything you want to know.
All right. Liz is having some audio issues, so she's pointing to me to...
I didn't even see that from her, yes.
So you can find us online. Hit us up at facebook.com/randomchatternetwork. You can also find us on Twitter. You can find the network and the show at Random Chatter. Lou, where can we find you?
You can find me at Lou Secki. That's Lousecki.
You can find Liz, as I mentioned earlier in the show, at Nerd in the City. She's the one you want to mute when she starts talking about some rom-com weird Rude. Thing about hearts. And you can find me teasing Liz on a regular basis at Qui-Gon Tim. That's Tim with two M's. Also, be sure to check out our website, randomchatter.com. You can find all of our shows listed there. We have some blog stuff going on. I haven't, with the casting of my right arm, I've not been able to keep up on the James Bond blog here in the last few weeks, but hopefully pretty soon I'll be throwing some stuff up there. We have a new poll up there pretty regularly, which Carrie gets up there for us, and all sorts of good stuff. Lou.
Oh, geez, I was asleep at the switch here. Sorry about that. And of course, you'd love it if you spread the word about the show, is let everybody else know about your love for the Random Chatter Network. You can leave us reviews on iTunes and Stitcher or wherever else you catch your podcasts. And of course, you know, just tell your friends about us too. If they like the same things you're into, they might like listening to us.
Ah, Patreon. We've come to that time. We love
Patreon. First time of the year.
That's right. So, Christmas is done. So you might have, maybe you got some money from some relatives or something like that, or, you know, you've realized the credit card bills weren't all that bad. You like listening to the stuff that we do. We like doing stuff that we do, so you can listen to us, for you to then like what we do, so we can do the, that's what, like a weird rabbit hole to go down.
Right, it is, yeah. Don't go there. Or, you know, maybe they win the Powerball.
Yeah, maybe you're that person who won the Powerball there yesterday, and like, what it was at $500 million or something like that.
Something crazy like that.
Or maybe you just happen to have an extra buck or two kicking around every month. We want to take that from you. That's kind of where we're at. In a very nice way. We're not going to like mug you on the street. You might find someone with like some crazy teal hair that does that. That may or may not be Liz. It's actually why she got kicked out of Paris. She can't return. The Parisian authorities have already contacted us, and
it's a big mess.
patreon.com/randomchatter. We definitely appreciate some financial support as we continue to grow and expand and do great things, and hopefully fix Liz's audio problem. And of course, anything that, you know, whenever you provide us with some support, we try to throw something back at you. Even a dollar a month, which is the minimum contribution you can provide on Patreon, that dollar a month gets you access to our Slack group, which we've already mentioned a few times. It is just an awesome community of hosts and listeners that we have, and you can pretty much talk about anything on there. We've got different channels in there for our shows and for just general movie discussion, TV show discussion, gaming, books, all sorts of great stuff. So patreon.com/randomchatter. And the more you give, the more we give back to you. So we are kind of recommitting this year. We fell off a little bit last year in doing some premium content types of things. So we're going to recommit to that. We've been talking about that. We want to make sure that we make good on that promise and get some good stuff out to you. So there will be some things that don't go out publicly that you may hear that might involve a bit of drinking. They might involve some not editing. So Eric's not editing out when I say things. Yes. And some general good, you know, tomfoolery.
So, of course.
Tomfoolery.
That's what we got.
Tim Foolery, there you go. Hashtag Tim Foolery. The music you hear at the end of the podcast here is The Perfect Heist by Blue Stolly. And thank you very much for listening. We'll come back at you in another week.